why your favorite podcaster has become unoriginal. Over the past decade, I've followed a handful of podcasters, public thinkers, public intellectuals, influencers, whatever you want to call us. I've followed a few whose work has genuinely shaped me. They've sharpened my thinking. They've introduced tools I implemented. They accelerated my personal growth. But more recently, something has changed. I'll see a new episode drop. Click, listen, and by the end, nothing new. Just remixing, repackaging, iteration of ideas I've already metabolized, tactics I've already implemented, wisdom that has been digested. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless, and I'm tremendously tempted to start internet drama by calling out a few of them, but I'm genuinely grateful to them. So instead, I'll surmise as to why this is happening. Maybe you've noticed it too. First, cognitive decline is real. Here's an uncomfortable possibility. As thinkers push into their fifth or sixth decades, creativity and synthesis decline. The first thing that aging robs us of isn't memory. It's novelty. It's the ability to synthesize new frameworks, to generate fresh angles, to connect distant ideas. And as I push into my 40s, this is something I am absolutely determined to not let happen to me. Here's what I'm doing about it. Smart drugs, of course. The really potent ones, like the racetams, which blunt the early edges of decline. Nicotine. It has some potential downsides, but for me, it's the ultimate creativity drug. Third, memory training. The SuperMemo app is the best tool I've found to keep those neural bridges sturdy between disparate ideas. Next, dual NBAC training. This is one of the most scientifically supported ways to maintain working memory, the RAM of the mind. Working memory is upstream of synthesis, upstream of creativity, upstream of intellectual danger. If the working memory of the mind, the RAM of the mind, declines, originality follows. And finally, I'll mention interviewing. This year, I've devoted a lot more time to interviews than solosodes. Conversations with interesting people doing innovative work in the fields of personal growth, biohacking, and anti-aging. You can check out a growing playlist of Limitless podcast interviews, and that's going to be on the page on my website, linked below wherever you're watching or listening to me, that has, yeah, all the links to all the good stuff I talk about here. But getting back to this unoriginality problem that I'm pointing out, this is not just a biology thing. There's another culprit. Streaming. Yeah. Live streaming creates audience capture, super chats, real-time feedback loops, endless personal growth 101 type questions. And thinkers slowly drift toward talking about what their audience already understands because that's what gets engagement. And over time, novelty dies. That's one reason why I don't live stream and don't plan to. I could probably be a bigger influencer if I did. but I'd rather deliver crafted novelty than reactive commentary. We're going to do a live stream where I'm going to talk about my thoughts on streaming, on live streaming. And this is the thing, I fucking hate live streaming.
Oh, I understand, John. Me too.
I think streaming is the lamest thing. So ironically enough, I'm going to make my critique of streaming while streaming. It's like a meta. So we're going to go meta on everything. So I have thought that streaming was super lame before, like since the inception of streaming, which was like 2010. I thought that streaming was just the stupidest thing. I always preferred, when it came to web video and web media, I always preferred the cinematic format of like produced YouTube videos, where there was like some scripting, there was some organization of thought, there was some effects and animation going on. I always really dug that. I always thought that was like so much better than the live streaming format of just the guy sitting in front of his computer rambling about whatever. Okay, second reason why I hate live streaming is that live streaming has ruined some of my favorite podcasts and YouTube channels. Podcasting and YouTubing have devolved into this lame format as a result of live streaming. There's been a devolution of podcasting and YouTubing to this format where there's a guy on his computer and he just reads the news and makes snarky comments while he's hoping for super chats to roll in. And I do not like the format of podcasting where there's just some guy who's arguing with the trolls that are there in his comment section. And I have also got a lot of content to listen to. I've got a lot of, I'm trying to learn as much as I can through the rich web media format. And I listen to everything at 1.25x speed so that I can just take it in as fast as possible. You know, I'm on smart drugs, so I take things in a little bit faster. And you can't do that with live streaming. Okay, next, third thing that I am baffled by with live streaming is esports. Esports, babe. Mm-hmm. What is the deal with esports?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it is just peak absurdistan that esports. This is when guys play video games on the internet and other guys watch them play video games. Like they could be playing their own video games, but instead they're watching other guys play video games. And so I'm
like another type of industry.
Yes.
Well, you would yes. do something instead of doing it.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And that brings us to the next reason why I do not like live streaming. It's that, and if you need any further proof of the impending idiocracy and collapse of civilization itself, consider the scourge of Twitter, of the Twitch thoughts and their simps, these guys who pay women to play video games for them. This is just the stupidest thing that I can imagine. What do you think of that, babe?
Absolutely, I agree with you on Krumbuken 20%.
That's important. That's important, babe. And so we can thank streaming for the scourge of the Twitch thoughts and their simps. Without streaming, I don't think there would be simps.
Or
maybe there would be. Maybe a simpery is just endemic to the psychology and would have it one way or another. but it's a lot worse. It's a lot worse because of the streaming.
It completely up to the ratio of supply and demand.
Oh, beauty and brains. Beauty and brains on this one. Thinking in terms of economics, because the economics underlie, they really do underlie everything, don't they? So, yes, so those are my thoughts on streaming. That's why I don't stream very much. I don't like streaming. I'm anti-streaming. But ironically enough, I thought I delivered it to you guys in a stream. But it would seem that the unwashed masses of the internet, they disagree with me. They don't see things the same way as far as the streaming goes. And it would seem that streaming is here to stay. Like herpes. Also, on the unoriginality front, I think part of the issue is people don't know when they should retire. Elite athletes sometimes retire after their greatest victories. They don't stick around long enough to become mediocre versions of themselves. And public thinkers doing their 12th live stream this month, they might learn something from that. There's dignity in exiting at your peak. So what should you do when your favorite podcaster becomes unoriginal? Should you send them a diplomatically worded email letting them know that? No, I don't think that'll work real well, because podcasters are not known for their small egos. Here's what you should do. Unsubscribe. Seriously. Why cling to someone who is remixing yesterday's ideas just because they once delivered something valuable? There are thousands of podcasters and thinkers out there doing genuinely original work right now, or work that's going to be original to you. The internet is not suffering from a scarcity of voices. It's suffering from an abundance of repetition. If your old favorite podcaster suddenly produces something truly original again, trust me, you'll hear about it. Original work makes a splash. It gets clipped, quoted, and shared. It pierces the noise. But returning again and again to an unoriginal source simply because of history, that's nostalgia bias. That's sunk cost fallacy. That's pattern addiction. Originality is calling to you constantly online. It's sometimes uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. It might be on a platform you haven't joined because you default to using the apps pre-installed on your smartphone. Just such a platform would be Odyssey.com. And this is the best YouTube alternative. And there you could find some mind-blowing, uncensored creativity. Yeah, originality doesn't always come wrapped in the comforting voice you've listened to for years. But answer the call anyways. Your mind deserves novelty, and your growth, your ability to break through the glass ceilings, might really depend on that. My commitment to you. I will continue to do my damnedest to deliver novelty. New thinking, new tools, new reports on self-experiments. I did a weird self-experimentation thing last night, and it didn't go great. But I'm going to continue and try to get some value out of a new weird thing that I'm trying. And then you're going to hear about it. I'm also revamping and refining some of my older content, because I'm aware that some of you haven't followed me for the 14 years that I've been doing Limitless Mindset, and some of the stuff that I created 7 or 8 years into that journey is genuinely helpful. And maybe it's just buried down there too far in my archive of content for you to find it. And so that's why I do re-releases with the upgraded, improved audio quality, updated, improved visuals for a lot of my content. But you can also expect new insights from the wild journey of fatherhood that I'm now 7 months into. I feel like I've figured out some pretty good life hacks for that and biohacks for fatherhood at this point, and there's going to be so many more. Also, I've got interviews coming out that I'm genuinely excited about, conversations that break new ground. The one I'm dropping in about 7 days, about a week from now, is a pretty spicy one. And as far as the most creative work that I've done recently, well, that would be my novel, Hourglass. And this story is 700 pages about a biohacking cyber criminal who must master lust to save civilization from the same comet that destroyed Atlantis 12,800 years ago. Pretty original premise, right? And this book pushed me way outside of my comfort zone, and that's where novelty lives. And the sequel, the second half of the story, drops on my birthday this year, May 10th. If you want safe repetition, there are endless podcasts for that. I'm pretty sure you can find it in your podcast player feed right now. If you want dangerous originality, stay subscribed and read Hourglass or listen to the Odyssey of the Mind style audiobook that I produced to go with it. Yeah, maybe listen to that instead of yet another podcast about psychedelics or the keto diet. Haven't you already heard enough about psychedelics and the keto diet? At this point, I will add a audio chapter excerpt now.
The 33 trillion cells of his body and his 20,000 genes screamed at him to say something to her, yet her mere presence paralyzed him. This was the third time she had looked at him, in a confined commute together of only 4 floors. Xavier Oren was nervous. It had been a while since he had been alone, and physically this close to a woman actually wearing a skirt, especially a woman like this. She had strikingly exotic features. Long jet black hair, piercingly full green eyes, sensual red lips, aristocratic high cheekbones, clear creamy Mediterranean skin the color of coffee, with a lot of milk added, and her hips had an alluring width to them. She was dressed stylishly, with an expensive-looking white leather purse. Her curvaceous form beckoned from the delicate fabric of her daring black top, and the green-striped skirt did more than hint at her shapely legs. In the 4 mirrored walls of the elevator, her reflection receded infinitely away from his.
Yeah. Would you like to hear more of that voice? Check out the audiobook. I'm Jonathan with Limitless, looking forward to a continued conversation with you.